Okay, let's see, turn this on. Actually, I've got a couple of cucumbers here, and I don't know if that's been pointed out. Who's having salad for lunch or tea later? You are. Do you have a cucumber? These cucumbers were grown in our car park by Reg, actually. He does a lot. You know, last week we had the sort of needs. Anybody need anything? So you need a cucumber. You can have... Look at that. Anybody else now? Come on. This is how God provides. Dan, you need a cucumber. You look like a man who needs a cucumber. Come and get one. He has to eat it, right?
He will.
Okay. Right. So this morning, the topic of conversation is sharing our testimonies, right? If you've got those lovely little postcards that Ben has produced, that's where we're at. And it's sharing our testimony in light of the gospel. So I'm going to just remind you, like I did last week, of what we're talking about with the gospel. I'm just going to define it like this. It comes from this a liturgy that goes, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Yeah? So the idea is that Christ has died for our sins and we are forgiven. Christ has risen. He's risen from the dead to bring new life and reigns on high, Lord over all. And Christ will come again. And there is a hope for all of us as Christians that this world will be renewed and things will be made right again. And that's pretty good news. So that's why we call it the gospel, which means good news. So that's what we're talking about with the gospel. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. If you can't remember the gospel, then that's a good way of doing it. So I'm going to give this morning's topic a subtitle, which is sharing our testimonies. I'm going to say, what are we talking about? You know, somebody, I don't know about you, but I often say to people, well, I often say to myself, what are you talking about? You know, you get to that point. But I also want to ask a question, what are you talking about when you're at home? What are you talking about when you get together with your friends? What are you talking about when you do what you do? I don't know if you noticed, but people tend to gather around their kind of interests, hobbies or whatever. And then they talk about what they're into. So, for instance, I'm into... Well, I go riding on my bike from time to time. And when you get together with cyclists on a ride... What you end up talking about is how steep that bit of road is, or, oh, I see you've got some new wheels, or how come you're going faster than me, you know? And the funny thing is, when you get on a bike, and if you go out for a couple of hours, like I do from time to time, that is life. Nothing else matters, apart from getting from A to B. Does anyone else relate to this? I know Chris can relate to this because I've been out for a ride with him, okay? And Daniel, I've been out for a ride with him. And see, when I went out with Chris, I wasn't as fit as him, so I was hanging on for dear life, and I was just thinking, I've got to just do what he's doing. And I noticed he was spinning his pedals really quickly, and I'm kind of thinking, it's a bit odd. And it's a bit keen, but I'm going to just kind of... By the end of the ride, he was still kind of just chugging along, and I'm kind of like, oh, how'd you do it? Well, I found out if you spin your pedals quickly... That's more efficient, he told me. So I've learnt this now. So when Daniel comes out with me, who's a bit of a novice, he's getting better, he's kind of chugging. I said, no, just click down, spin your wheels, you'll get there. And now he's like powering up the hills. And why is that? Because when we get together as cyclists, we talk about cycling. Now, it's very boring for you. A lot of you have switched off already, haven't you? Yeah? You're wishing that you got the cucumber, so you had at least something to do. While I was talking about this. But if you're into cycling, you get on the bike and you start thinking, right, I want to find out how this guy's doing. So you end up talking about bikes, you end up talking about hills, you end up talking about routes, you end up talking about the Tour de France, you end up talking about Chris Froome and Bradley Wiggins and Mark Cavendish. No, you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? These are the greats of cycling at the moment, yeah? And that's what you do. When cyclists get together, you talk about cycling, and it's quite infectious, actually. You can't help it. You can't help it. The same happens, I'm a musician, I don't know if you've noticed that's been mentioned, and you know, when musicians get together, guess what they talk about? Music! Yeah. You would think we'd had enough of it, but you know, you get together with a bunch of brass players and they open, particularly trumpet players I've noticed, they open their case and there's a kind of like, you know, it's a bit like, oh, new mouthpiece, Yeah, and then you start talking about a new mouthpiece. Utterly boring to everybody else, isn't it? But to these people, this is totally fascinating. New mouthpiece can play a semitone higher with this and at least 5 decibels louder with this mouthpiece, they will tell you. And so it goes on, and you start talking about gigs you've done, gigs you'd have liked to have done, people you've played with, people you've liked to have played with, people that you've heard, you know, the music that you've played, the kind of what you like playing, what you don't like playing, why so-and-so wrote this piece and it's so hard, and all that kind of thing. You talk about music, right? And it's infectious. It's infectious. I happened to be on a gig recently. It was at St. Paul's Cathedral. And the Queen happened to be in the audience. And anyway, just before this gig, we got together because there was all this security you had to go through. So all the band decided to get together, and I didn't know any of these guys apart from one of them. And I just was sitting in this cafe talking, and I got sat next to this guy. We just got chatting, and he was the percussionist in the group, the drummer. And I understand. And he said to me, "I've just bought a new kit." Now I'm reasonably interested in drums because my brother was a drummer. I said, "Oh, all right, okay." And then he starts telling me. Oh boy, you know, he got his phone out, I'm not joking, he starts showing me pictures, it's like as if he'd just had a new baby, you know, he's showing me pictures on the phone, he's telling me all about it, he started telling me where this kit was made, because it's a vintage, what's called a vintage kit, it's an old kit, where this kit was made, when it was made, who'd played on it, and now he owns it, and he's really proud about it. He was passionate about those drums, and it's infectious, because I'm like, oh yeah, look at that, oh yeah. If you want to see pictures of my tuba afterwards, I'll show you. The reason why I'm telling you this is that when you get with someone who is really into what they're doing and they start talking about it, it's infectious, isn't it? I mean, whether it's biochemistry or gardening or whatever, if somebody's really into what they're doing, in fact, you know Lizzie, who is part of our church, she's at university at the moment, she just started telling me about... I can't even remember what it was, but she just got really animated about biochemistry, and I'm thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about, but it's interesting because you're just talking about it. Still no idea, but it drew me in. You had that experience? Yeah, it draws you in. So that's what happens in life, isn't it? So we're talking about sharing our testimony, and you think, okay, right, where's the link here? Well, I hope you can see some kind of link. This idea of testimony, the idea we're talking about really is so something that will give evidence to something. That's what testimony means. And, you know, it's basically the idea that I've seen something or I've heard something or I know something and I want to show you that this is real. Yeah? Now, we need to be talking here about, we're giving evidence of the gospel, that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ has come again. If you come riding with me on my bike, I can give you evidence that there's a particularly steep hill called White Down Lane. It's steep, I can tell you that. Now, you know that because I've been up it. You can believe me, right? I'll show you the sweat to show for it. But now we're coming to the gospel here. I want to tell you that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. That's my testimony. That's your testimony. That's our testimony if we're Christians. It's not just a thing we say, but it's actually something that comes through our stories, it's something that comes through our experiences, it's something that comes through the people that we meet, it's something it comes through the people that we know about. I don't know Bradley Wiggins, I don't know Reinhard Bonnke, but I heard somebody say, you probably don't know, some of you don't know Reinhard Bonnke, but I heard somebody say just the other year, Reinhard Bonnke, I'm sure they've never met him, he taught me this. Well, that means that there's this Christian guy who was teaching and they've learned something from it because they know that Christ has died and Christ has risen and Christ will come again. And so now I know something of that through what this person has said. Does that make sense? Something through our circumstances that we talk about these things and as we talk about them and share them, we realize we're talking about our testimony that actually we know that Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. That's a gospel testimony. And that's what we should be talking about as Christians. If you read something, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures here. This is what they were talking about in the early church. In 1 John, it says that, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's what they were talking about. We've seen this, that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's what they're talking about. In Acts, it says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was powerfully at work in them all. They were talking about the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they were telling everybody and anybody, this is what's happened. Again in 1 John it says, and this is the testimony, God has given eternal life and this life is in his Son. That's what they were talking about. It's through Jesus. That's where you have eternal life. So this Christian testimony is talking in a way that gives evidence that Jesus is who the Bible claims him to be. You can read the Bible, can't you? Anybody can read the Bible. But you might have heard this saying, some people say that your lives are possibly the only Bible that some people will read. Not everybody out there is going to read the Bible. Not everybody out there is going to understand the Bible. But they're going to look at your lives and sort of say, okay, well, let's see, does this stack up? Does this stack up? Now, some of our, part of our testimony is how we came to faith. I'm sure, maybe, I don't know, I'm preempting this. Lucy might mention a bit of that later, how I came to become a Christian. And I can tell you that happened about 30 years ago. If I'm honest, I can't entirely remember exactly how it happened. I can roughly, but I can't give you all the details. I can't even really give you, it just kind of happened. That was 30 years ago. But that isn't it. That was a part of it, but that isn't it. That's just the beginning. Our ongoing testimony is that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again in our lives every day. And so that's what we should be talking about when we come to church. Just like when I get on my bike and I go out with some friends on a bike, I'll end up talking about bikes. Just like when I get together with some musicians, I'll end up talking about music. When I come to church, I hope I'll end up talking about Christ at some point, yeah? With everybody. Not just that we come and listen to the preacher preach, and maybe the guy on the piano has a few sort of clever words to say because he's the guy on the piano, that's what we expect. But actually, all of us have something to share of evidence that Jesus has died, he's risen, and he's coming again. Because I tell you what, I don't have to come to church to find out what the weather's going to be like. We love talking about the weather, don't we? Yeah? It's a lovely day, isn't it? You're allowed to say yes. I'm not criticizing you if you talk about the weather. Okay, and I'm not saying you're not allowed to talk about the weather, but what I'm saying is I don't need to come to church to find that out. I've actually got an app on my phone now. I can just find out what the weather's like, you know? I don't need to come to church to find out some political views on Brexit. Let's not talk about that. I'm saying you can talk about it if you want, but all I'm saying is I can find that out there. Yeah, I can find that out there. I don't need to come to church to get DIY tips, although I have found some very helpful DIY tips at and through church, so you're allowed to talk about that if you want. But I do come to church because I want to hear some evidence that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. I need to hear your testimony. I need to hear your witness. I need to hear your evidence because it encourages me, and you no doubt you need to hear mine too. So, you know, just like when I'm riding or when musicians get together, do you know what one thing we say? Well, what are you practicing at the moment? They will say, what kind of things are you practicing? Because we all want tips on how to get better. So in the Christian world, I'm wondering, well, in church, I'm thinking, what do you do to keep yourself going each day? You know, I know some of you read Every Day with Jesus. Some of you, I've just bought this book called Celtic Daily Prayer. I just want to recommend it to you because for me, every day, I open it up, nearly every day. I'll be honest with you, nearly every day. And I encounter Christ through the writings and the Bible readings. I'm just telling you that. You don't have to do it. I'm just telling you that I meet with Jesus, risen Jesus, as I do that. Okay? And some of you have. So, but other of you have other ways. Share it. Yeah? What are the gatherings that you've been to when you've really met with the Lord? We went to the Randy Clark Conference a couple of months ago now. I had a powerful encounter with God. I'll tell you, I told my church, I'm telling everybody now, a powerful encounter with God. Every time when we gather on Friday evenings to pray for Gabriella, we meet with God. Do you know what? Even on Sundays, I meet with God from time to time. Isn't that good? I was really looking forward to coming this morning, and I'm glad I'm here. It's going to be a great thing when we see Lucy baptized. We're going to meet with God in some way. Who are the people that have inspired you? Who are the people that taught you? Let me hear about them, because this is not just your testimony in you yourself, but this is like, well, who are the greats in your life? Who are the people that have really inspired you? That's part of your testimony. What are the prayers that you've prayed that have been answered? How has the grace of God impacted your life? What miracles have you heard about? What miracles have you seen? What miracles have you experienced? Because I want to know and hear about those things. I'll tell you one more. I've told this, a number of you know this, but there's a friend of ours called Joe. I play with a pianist called Pete, and his wife, Joe, who's a vicar, had ME for 3 years. I know, sorry, Kings, you've heard this, but I'm dining out on this because it's just incredible. She had ME for 3 years, and she couldn't do anything, really, vicary or anything, really, for all that time. Pete was doing everything. And they went to a conference this time last year, and they started praying for people with ME. And just it happened that the person in front of her had been healed of ME. The person behind her, I think it was her husband, had been healed of ME. So they started praying for Joe. Guess what? She was healed of ME, completely symptom-free from there and then. She ran the next day. She was late for a meeting. She ran down the road and got to the end of the road and thought, I've just ran down the road. She was going up and down the stairs. She couldn't do that before without getting tired. Going up and down the stairs. Now she's just, we're going to another conference with her tomorrow, actually. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening there. You need to know that, don't you? Because Christ has risen. He's coming again. And that's our testament. In fact, that's not my testimony, you would say, because that hasn't happened to me. Well, it is, because I know this person. In fact, I said to Kings, I want to give this lady a hug. Not because, I care for her, but I just want to just touch this person who's had this happen to say, this is real. This is real in this flesh and blood on this planet. So I hope you're getting the idea. This is what we're talking about. We're sharing the evidence. We're sharing the witness that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Now, put that in your own words, if you like. Put it in your own words, but let's talk about that, because that's why I'm here. We can talk about the weather. That's okay. We can talk about the quality of the coffee. That's okay. But let's also make sure, at some point, when we gather together, we talk about the evidence that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ has come again. I'm coming back to Acts chapter 4, verse 33. If you want to reflect on this week, it says, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them. That's church. That's what we do. That's what we're about.
I'm going to ask Lucy to share with us her testimony. And then she's going to say some vows, and then we're going to pray for her and indeed all of us. So Lucy, tell us your story.
Now I feel like a vicar. Okay. Why am I being baptised? Because one grumpy Sunday morning, when I was expressing the fact to my family I was definitely not good enough to go to church and be a Christian, my 7-year-old daughter said to me, "Mummy, why don't you get baptized?" In fact, I am sure God was speaking to me through her. It's true. I am not good enough to come into the Lord's holy, perfect presence. I am never going to be good enough on my own merits, even if my pride sometimes suggests this might be the case. The Bible tells me that my own best efforts are never going to be good enough for me to be truly friends with God. So what am I to do? My sin or self-centeredness is ever before me. I am not perfect, however hard I try. I have discovered over many years that there is a way to be friends with God, and this makes complete sense to me. How can I argue with a Lord whose command or instruction for life in all its fullness is love one another as I have loved you? So the more I have walked with Jesus, the more I have learnt what it is to be friends with God. It's actually not very complicated, although our religious nature can try to make it more difficult. I am not good enough. But Jesus is. He has bridged the gap between where I stand in my sinfulness and where God is in his holiness and perfection. After all, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus has offered me, as he offers every one of us, a new life, which I have been walking in for some time. It means I accept Jesus as Lord. He's in charge of what goes on. He tells me not to worry, to find my refuge in him. He has new things in store for the future. I just need to trust he has my best interest at heart. I believe this was true 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked with his disciples. It's true now, and this has been my experience, especially when life is not as I planned it. When my husband is out of work again, when I'm dealing with miscarriages or work pressures. Now I'm getting baptized to be obedient and to say to God, your will be done in my life. Continuing to walk with him means new insights about being friends with him as he helps me to love and serve others. Life tends to fall into place when I allow him to be in charge and not follow my own rather self-seeking inclinations. I want to say thank you to my Father God for bringing me to this moment when I can say in front of you, Jesus is Lord. I don't deserve his love. So will I be good enough after being baptized? After all, it's a jolly good wash. No, I won't. But his grace is sufficient. I am able to approach God because of what Jesus has done in bridging that gap between God's holiness and my imperfection. I will continue to follow him and get to know him better. A writer of a short letter in the New Testament, James, wrote, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." I just want to leave you with a picture that was painted by my husband Graham's aunt, who painted this picture to represent what Jesus has done.
So now I'm going to ask Lucy to say her vows of commitment. Lucy, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do. He has redeemed me and called me by name.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do. Christ is my way. He is the truth, and now he is my life.
And will you continue to live within the fellowship of the church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
With the Spirit's help, this will be my witness.
Fantastic. Let me pray for you. Let's pray for Lucy. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Lucy's testimony, a testimony that is honest and clear and full of truth. Lord, none of us could ever come into your presence on our own merit, but because of grace, because of Jesus Christ taking upon himself our sin, dying our death, and being raised to life again, we can all approach you, knowing that we are clothed not in our righteousness, but in Christ's righteousness, knowing that we can stand before you and call you our friend. What an immense privilege it is to have a relationship with you, to have a friendship with you. And I thank you for Lucy and her friendship with you. I want to thank you for the many years that she has walked by faith in friendship with you. And I thank you for this moment in Lucy's life where she's choosing to make that a public declaration by going through the waters of baptism. I want to thank you for Lucy's obedience. I want to thank you for her growing love for you, Lord. And I want to thank you for the hope of the future that now lies ahead of Lucy. Lord, may this be a marker, a day when Lucy can look back and think, yes, that was the moment when my obedience was fully realised. And Lord, lead her into great times of blessing and fruitfulness in the future. Lord, we lift Lucy to you. Ask your blessing upon her in Jesus' name. Amen. And now what I'd like us to do is to say the Lord's Prayer, which actually is a prayer of commitment. It's a prayer of salvation. It's a desire to see God's kingdom realized in our lifetime, within our midst. And so we're going to say, the words are on the screen. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Wonderful. Well, we're going to begin to get organised for the baptism. Before we do that, though, we're going to sing. This was a song that was chosen by Lucy as part of her baptismal service. A wonderful song that speaks of a life surrounded by the love of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Okay. Right. Lucy, come down and join us in the waters of baptism. Right, welcome Lucy, my sister. I have these words for you from the book of Galatians. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Because you are his child, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Lucy, we have heard of your repentance and faith. And I have to shout this next bit.
I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.